I welcome you all to this worship service at First Presbyterian Church, and to let you know, visitors, that I am not Reverend Tony Lorenz. Tony is in Honduras at the moment in a mission trip with the Presbytery of Carlisle, so they plan to return tomorrow, so please keep Tony and that group in your prayers. Check our Facebook page or the Facebook page of the Presbytery and to see exciting pictures and an idea of all they have done during this week. As we talk about our presbytery, I invite our new interim executive presbyter, Reverend Cheryl Galen, to stand. Cheryl is visiting us today. She is our new interim executive presbyter, and she's a delight. So I hope that you all get a chance to speak with her. Everyone is welcome, of course, to fellowship time after church and through these doors, and have a chance to meet and greet Cheryl and her delightful husband, Jack, who we are not forgetting, Jack. Lots of announcements. So whoever's announcement I forgot, I apologize already. So just to let you know. Ava said, tomorrow is the last day for devotions. And you all have to, who have signed up, have to hand in your devotion for tomorrow. And it's my job to tell you that. It's also my job to own up the fact I haven't written my own yet. So this afternoon. Bob Davis wants us to remember that it is time to sign up for Lenten luncheons for helpers, and especially if you are willing to donate soup or dessert. And I can say, Bob, I'm good for bread and rolls again, as I don't cook. So thumbs up. I bring the bread. It's real easy. Also, that on next Sunday, February 24th, those of you who are not members but have been friends for a while, we will have a new members class. If you'd like to attend, please email or text myself, Pastor Tony, and we will be glad to have you be part of the group next week following worship. The Presbytery of Carlisle is having a spiritual workshop that has to do with art. So you all know that I'll be there, right? I've already signed up and did my part that I put my name on. But if anyone else is interested, it is February the 25th, which is a Monday, from 9 to 3 at Mechanicsburg Presbyterian Church. And believe it or not, I'll drive. Or if you want to be safe, you'll drive and I'll ride with you. It could go either way. Oh, so much going on. So many things that we have in our community and time to be together. So I ask each of you, though, at this moment, to breathe, to calm, to bring yourself into God's presence, and to worship our Lord. All who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in him.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Praise God forever.
And the G means the green book.
Thank you.
follow Jesus, know that all of us, friends, are sinners, that each of us needs to confess for ourselves and for our community and for our institutions. So together, as the people, the children of God, let us confess before our Lord. Holy God, whose wisdom reaches far beyond our own understanding, you teach us strength in weakness, but we fail to follow your ways. We do not turn the other cheek, nor do we love our enemies. We do not pray for those who persecute us. Forgive us and show us again a better way, that we may be heirs and heralds of your coming reign. Amen. Listen to the good news. God's mercies as well as God's power are true. God will grant us, each one of us, courage, mercy, and be a constant presence in our midst of our shortcomings. Believe, friends, in the good news. You are loved, you are forgiven, and you are renewed to live fully in God's ways, now and forever. Amen. God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. Let us forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The wild divide.
Woo!
Woo, you went over the edge there. Please be seated. We are the forgiven people of God. And we are here to hear a word from God, knowing that the Spirit has a word for each one of us today. So let us pray together that our hearts and souls will be illuminated by God's word. Come now, come upon us now, O Holy Spirit, and give us holy thoughts which are translated into prayer, holy prayers which are translated into love, holy love, which is translated into life, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our light and life. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of Isaiah, hearing the words of the prophet and what God has planned for the people of Israel. After the lesson and the choir anthem, children are welcome to depart for Children's Church in our lower level.
The first lesson can be found on page 684 of your pew Bibles, Isaiah chapter 54, verses 1 through 8. Sing, O barren one who did not bear, burst into song and shout, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate woman will be more than the children of her that is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the site of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess the nations and will settle the desolate towns. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Do not be discouraged, for you will not suffer disgrace. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the disgrace of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth he is called. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, like the wife of a man's youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing wrath for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
One of the things that happens is Pastor Tony doesn't thank the choir all that often because he's part of the choir. So I think as a congregation, we should all give them a round of applause to thank them for their time and effort, all that they do to make our worship as true and as kind. And the organist and pianist isn't bad either. We'll keep them. Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke. A parable about dining and being invited and decisions to be made. Listen, and if you'd like to follow along, it is on page 77 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Jesus also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case that they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who eats bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slaves to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. Please accept my regrets.' And another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. The owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of this town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there still is room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, those who were first invited will not taste my dinner.'" The word of the Lord. I'm a child of the 50s and 60s. Yes, guys, I'm old. But I have to say, one of the things for my life that I look forward to each day is the mail. The mail. If I'm home and I see the mailman drive up, I just can't wait to see what he's put in the mailbox. Or when I get home from work, before I even go in my house, I always run over and see if the mail has been delivered. I don't know why I anticipate this so much. Really, I don't feel this way about an email or a text from any of you. Any of you. Well, maybe my grandson. All right. And usually, you know, it's just some junky advertisements, the electric bill, maybe a magazine. But if it's a good day, a really good day, maybe I got a note or a card from a friend. And then sometimes you get the best surprise out of all. That larger envelope that comes, the real nice stationery with the special stamp, and you know you have received an invitation. Now, when you see an invitation, especially one like this, it's usually a wedding invitation. Now, sometimes you know the invitation was coming. Maybe a niece or nephew is getting married. Maybe you know that the son or daughter of a close neighbor. Or maybe it's an invitation you hope to receive, but you weren't sure they were going to invite you. You know, you're on the borderline of their invitation list. We've all made those invitation lists. Don't think we haven't. And then maybe it's one you really didn't want. Oh no, if I have to go here, I will see crazy Uncle Joe. Oh no, if I have to go, cranky Aunt Mary will be there. Maybe not. But it's an invitation. And being invited puts pressure on you. You have to make some decisions now. Well, check the dates. Is your calendar open? Check the location. Is it someplace you want to go? Is it a city far away? Or is it just down the block? Can you bring someone? Are you supposed to bring someone? Well, you have to go alone, maybe? Oh. Well, what decisions am I going to make about this? So you think, and you think about it, and you decide, I'm going. But still, it's not the end of your decisions. Once you decide to go, you have to think, well, what will I wear? Will I need new shoes? You all know I say yes to that one. Yep, I think new shoes are appropriate. And what about a gift? Is money appropriate? Do they have a gift registry? Invitations bring decisions, and decisions and decisions. I want you to hear this parable, which is hard to say, from Matthew's gospel. It's a little different from the one you just heard in Luke, but it's concerning the same idea of being invited, and especially being invited to a marriage feast. The version I'm going to read to you comes from a children's illustrated Bible, so it's a little bit more of a story. But listen. Once upon a time, there lived a king who had a dearly beloved son. The prince was about to get married, and the king gave orders for a fantastic wedding banquet. Only the very best would do for his son. Menus were discussed, recipes were tasted, wine was ordered, entertainment was booked, invitations were sent out, seating plans were drawn up, silver was polished, flowers were arranged. Months and months of preparation. It was all ready. So the king sent out his servants to summon the guests to the celebration. But the servants returned all alone. Trembling, they ventured before the king one by one and gave the guests the pathetic excuses they had. One guest said, "Well, I just bought a field, and really, I have to go and plow it right away." And another said that he bought a herd of oxen and had some urgent work that they had to do. And a third said he couldn't come as he just had been married himself and he'd never leave his wife. And on it went. The king was deeply offended and disappointed by the rudeness of his friends and family. "Go and invite them again," he roared, and sent the servants scurrying off again. But again, not a soul came to the party. "That's it. I've had enough," said the king. "This is an ungrateful lot. They don't deserve to come to my party. Let them go." So he called for the servants one more time. "Go out into the streets of the kingdom and bring me all the homeless people you can find, the poor, the lame, the blind. Invite them. Invite them all. And I'm going to give them the party of their lives. And there's going to be a special robe that each of them will be invited to wear." And the banquet hall was soon filled with joyous sounds of feasting. And the head at the table was the king, and he was the happiest of all. He sat and watched as the total strangers ate and danced. He was so pleased. They were enjoying his hospitality so much more than his friends might have. Suddenly he noticed in the rows of guests there was a man who was dressed in rags. His plate was piled high and he was obviously enjoying himself. And the king sprang angrily to his feet and marched down to that man. "Where is your robe?" the king demanded. "Everyone invited by my servant that was given a robe. Where is yours? Get out if you don't have it." And the man mumbled and sputtered an excuse, but the king threw him out. "Fling him out," he said to the servants, and then the party carried on. I wanted you to hear both of those parables. These two parables have been weighing in my heart for a few months. Last year during our Bible study, those of you who attended, Deb Richcreek is smiling. She knows where this is going. I've worried and I've wondered about the parables. I've expressed how little grace I thought there was in some of the parables, including these two maybe, that the stories seem so black and white, so cut and dry, so in and out. In a world where life is filled with so many shades of gray, how can that be? How can decisions about our faith and our belief, our God and humanity, how could it be that simple? How could it be just yes or no responses? I have to say, this is the crux of my theological ponderings and discussions, my wondering about grace and the mystery of God. The idea of forgiveness and freedom, the demand, maybe that this coincides with reconciliation and justice. I often think about these things. And I've been praying and studying these two parables for some time, thinking about God and humanity, And I'm going to tell you my thoughts, and they're my thoughts, and probably heresy. So just know that I'm always accused of being a heretic, so just know that. That's where this is going to come. And yet I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in his death and resurrection, and I believe it's for all the world, but in a different way than I ever felt before. The Space for God group is reading a book called Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God, written by Brian Zahand. And I'd like to share this quote from the book. Quote, "The cross is a catalysmic collision of violence and forgiveness. The violence part of the cross is entirely human. The forgiveness part of the cross is entirely divine." End quote. The cross. The cross is the point where the fully human and fully divine Jesus changes the violence of humans into the grace, love, and forgiveness of God. And the resurrection proclaims that this death in this life can no longer prevail over God's kingdom, that it's changed. And here is how it's changed for me. I now see Jesus as the great host, sending out invitations to all. Here is grace and reconciliation, forgiveness, love, and justice. All are invited. But it is an invitation. And like invitations, you, me, the world has to make the decision of whether you're going to accept and participate in this invitation. Have you decided to attend? Today, as you are here in worship, most of you probably have decided to attend. But are you living as someone who knows they've been invited? Are you considering the gifts that you're bringing to the party and to God's world? Are you wondering how you can help others come to the party? Are you treating friend and neighbor, family, the world, knowing that Jesus has invited them as guests too? Are you letting the distractions of this world, the fields to plow, the oxen to feed, to stop you from fully participating in this feast? Are you remembering to prepare, to dress properly, to study, to pray, to worship? Are you remembering that invitations bring decisions? I pray that each of you are living and loving in the knowledge that you have been invited to the kingdom of God's banquet. Each one of you. And it's not just that banquet in the great hereafter, but it is the joyful feast of daily living, acknowledging Christ in your life, participating, knowing the party is about to happen. I pray with gratitude and that gratitude and grace are ingredients which sustain each of you. Jesus is the host, and you are invited guests. Please RSVP with enthusiasm and delight. And by the way, bring your appetite and your dancing shoes, because it is the best party ever.
Thank you.
to our affirmation of faith. But I want you to notice that in thinking of invitation and being invited, more than just believing these things, I've changed the word to love. That you, as we say this, we not only think about believing, but thinking about loving these things from God. So let us affirm our faith together. I love God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I love Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I love the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church. I love the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. In our prayers this week, I ask you to keep Belinda Morris and her family in your prayers. Belinda visited us last week. She was the young woman who sat in the middle about where Frank Meehan is. She had the two young boys, probably around 8 and 11. Belinda died suddenly this week of unknown health causes, and she will be have a memorial service at the Presbyterian Orthodox Church this week on Thursday. Belinda's husband was a pastor in the Presbyterian Orthodox Church in America. So keep the family, especially the two young boys, Calvin and Quentin, in your prayers. We pray for Ray Thomas, who will start undergoing new treatment for his cancer, which has returned, and that Ray will be strong and courageous, and that we will be with him in his time. We pray for Dick and Tracy as they continue through Dick's illness, and keep them in our thoughts and prayers. For Jean and Harold and their family, we pray for Cheryl and Jack as they are in their transition time here in the Presbytery of Carlisle. We have many things to be thankful for and many things for ask God to be with us. So let us pray together. Holy God, we pause this morning within the busyness of life to give you thanks and praise. O Lord of love, you created your world in love. You breathe life into us in love. You hold us eternally in your love. And yet you know, O God, for us to believe this, to really receive and rest in your love is not easy. Love without conditions, maybe we've never known such love in our own lives. Love that we can count on no matter what. And maybe we're not so sure that we deserve such love from you or anyone else, Lord. Help us to believe. And so, how do we come to a real trust and absolute sureness of your love? Who can confidently point the way? And we thank you, gracious God, that you have given us the way, Jesus Christ, that you have appointed him to walk beside us, to lead us in our ways, in our own lives, to bring us your love, who assures us that no one is left out in infinite circumstance of your love, extending from eternity to eternity. And so we thank you today that the Spirit of Christ has the power to draw us into your love, to enliven and strengthen us, to live in that love each day. Throughout this congregation, throughout the world, people are visibly in desperate need. In Syria and Honduras, in Carlisle and in Chicago, lives crushed through natural disaster or accidents, through violence or war, or loss of health and strength. There are those whose outward appearance veils an inner suffering. There are ones of us, honestly, Lord, all of us, who know that we have come up short morally, who have sometimes and oftentimes failed to act fairly in the world. In all these conditions, we can feel desperately alone. And life throws into our face the mocking question, where is your God? Where is this love of God for you? And then, through that despair, through death itself, you, gracious Lord, summon forth these qualities of faith and courage, care and hope, embodied love, an arm thrown around a neighbor, the embrace of a friend, an outstretched hand to help, one stepping forward to become in that moment your heart of love, O God. God of new beginnings, nurture within us the character of Christ himself. When we are troubled and fearful, renew our hope and courage. When disappointed or ashamed by failure, reassure us of your love and forgiveness. In the face of life's setbacks, give us endurance. Grant us boldness to uphold what is right. Soften our hearts to forgive those who have wronged us, and shape our lives to be always thankful to you, O God. Now, trusting in your strong love, which securely holds us forever, we pray in the words taught to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
the power,
and the glory forever. Amen. Invitations. What gift can I bring? Does God have a registry? I don't know. But we do in church. We know that we need things. We need time. We need your talents. We need your dollar bills to continue the mission of Christ in this world. So now may you give generously of all that God has given to you. Will the ushers come forward? Minds, O God, and you nourish us with your word. May the wisdom you give us lead others to know the living Christ. May the light of our good works bring glory to your name. Accept our offerings as we go forth to serve you. In all we accomplish, we pray your name will be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. Charges to live that you know that way, that the God of hope and invitation can fill you all with joy and peace. May you abound in this hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. May you bring God's invitation to all that you know and meet this week, this year, in your lifetime. Know you are invited to a great party. RSVP with delight. Amen.